Jerry asked me early in the week, he said, "I got a song I want you to hear." And he started playing that, and I was like, "Yes, that's what we need." And I almost can skip reading the scripture because that song was the scripture. The very first part of it is the scripture that I'm going to read here in a minute. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is Elijah. "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your sons and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Elijah comes into the midst of the Bible in this chapter. And the first story is he arrives at the king and he tells the king, "It's not going to rain again until I pray to say it's going to rain." Fearful thing to go before the king and tell the king what's going to happen and that you have control over what's going to happen. Elijah goes off and hides. And the ravens feed him until the creek runs dry. The ravens feed him. And now there's nothing. And the word of God comes to him again. Because you see, God has a plan for supplying people's needs. God has a plan for supplying people's needs. This widow and her son basically have much of nothing left. You see, she's out gathering up a few sticks to bring them together to start a fire and make a couple of cakes, probably very thin pancakes from the way she speaks, for her and her son. And then they're just going to sit down to die. Sad story. And Elijah comes as she's collecting up those twigs, and he says, "Hey, just bring me a little glass of water, please. That's all I need." And off she starts towards home. And he says, "Oh, by the way, bring me some bread too." And that's when she says she doesn't have anything. You see, Elijah has come to her and shared with her what the plans are. He has come to her and said, "God wants to supply. All you've got to do is be obedient. All you've got to do is follow the directions that I give you." You see, Elijah shares those plans with a widow who doesn't know God. I want you to pay attention to her first words to him. Listen to these words as I read them again. She says, "As surely as the Lord your God lives." You see, she doesn't believe in the God of Elijah. "As surely as the God your God lives." She says, "I've got nothing." And by the way, she doesn't come to believe in him and believe in God until the end of this chapter, after another great and terrible occurrence. Because what happens is her son dies. And she goes to Elijah and she says, "Have you come to me just to cause this trouble?" And I go, "Wait a minute. Just a few paragraphs ago, you were okay with sitting down and eating your last meal and both of you dying. And now she says, Elijah, have you come to cause this trouble to me?" And Elijah raises her son from the dead. And she says, "Now I know your God." So even at this point, through all this time of flour and oil being supplied over and over and over again, she doesn't believe in the God of Elijah. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're down to the last cup in the bottom of the barrel of flour, but it never runs out, and at least my understanding, a cruse of oil is not a big container of oil. It's something small. And it never runs out. You see, God had a plan. And God knew what God was going to do to supply for Elijah and to supply for this widow and her son. Because, see, she's already admitted to him that she only has enough for one last meal for her and her son. She basically tells Elijah, "I can bring you water, but I don't have anything else. I don't have enough, really, for my son and I." And Elijah tells her to do what? He basically just says, "Follow the directions. Just follow the directions I gave you." I'm glad he wasn't talking to a gentleman. Because sometimes men don't know how to follow directions. Amen?
Amen.
I thought that would get some response. He tells her, he says, "Just follow the directions. Make me a cake first. And then make one for you and your son." Now, I really wonder, how hard was that for her to do? I mean, how hard? She knew that she had just enough for the two of them to have one last meal and then sit down and die. That's all there was. And she knew that. She told Elijah that. "I don't have anything more." And he says, "Just do what I asked. Follow the Lord's direction. And do what God asks you to do." And what does it say that happened? For the whole time, they never ran out of flour and they never ran out of oil. For the whole time. You see, she willingly gives what she has. And God supplies an abundance. Now, abundance doesn't mean just enough for the next meal. Abundance. A cup that overflows. A flowing that continues. A flowing that never stops. Now, I don't think the jar sat there and continually overflowed with oil. But every time she went to use it, it mysteriously somehow was full again. So she had enough for one more meal. I don't think the barrel was full a flower. I don't think it went from having enough for one meal to overflowing in the house. I think it was a continually ongoing process that she had to trust what God had said to do. Make a meal for Elijah first, and then there'll be an abundance. Now, if I remember my scriptures right, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. We're not talking 1 week of extra food in the barrel and in the jar of wine or the jar of oil. We're not talking one extra week. Now, he's been fed by the ravens for a while. So maybe it's only 2 years, maybe it's three. But it keeps being there. Now, what would that be like for you if you go back to the kitchen and you look in the barrel and there's still enough flour for one more meal? Think about that. So I make one more meal. And I come back to make the next meal, and what do I find in the barrel? One more meal. For maybe 3 years? Can you imagine that? And part of me says, how did the widow not believe at that point? But she does later, at the resurrection of her son. She doesn't learn through this process, but something tells me she's seen something through this that she didn't expect. Because she's out gathering sticks. She did not expect that meal to last for maybe 3 years. That's incredible, isn't it? That is absolutely incredible. When she willingly gives, God supplies an abundance. Now, one of the things I know that Jesus said is he came and said that the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but the Son of God has come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Think about that for a minute. Not just life, but more abundantly. Is that the kind of life that you're having? A life that's more abundant? My first plan in my life was not to be a pastor. And I've told many of you, my wife did not marry a pastor. She married a shipyard worker who knows how to do hydraulics and mechanics, who knows how to put things together without directions. Yes. Because guess what? The company used to bring me stuff. The company I worked for and said, somebody else took this apart. You think you can get it back together? And I'm like, how do you put it back together? And they said, we're hoping you can figure it out because that person doesn't work here anymore who took it apart. The joy of working on Navy contracts. That's the joy of working on Navy contracts. That's what she married. A person who drove a truck up and down the East Coast and the Gulf Coast with the equipment that we had to work on ships. Been to Pascagoula, Mississippi twice in my life, and I hope never to have to go again. I don't wish anything bad on the people there or anything like that. But when you check into a hotel in Pascagoula, Mississippi, they give you bottled water. And you kind of look at them like, okay. And they said, that's so you can brush your teeth. And I was like, okay. And then I turned the faucet on and said, where's the bottled water? Because it comes out smelling like swamp water. And it has a brown tint to it. I think my teeth might have been a little bit more stained if I used that. And so I went down there working on ships. And I told God, I said, please don't ever bring me back to this place. Guess what? I became a pastor and we took a mission trip to almost Pascagoula, Mississippi. We were at the town right next to it. And I was like, Lord, you have a different sense of humor than I do. We were down there after Hurricane Katrina a year later to try to help the people down there. But abundant life? You see, I never planned to be a pastor. And I struggled with God for 3 years, God calling me to be a pastor and me saying no for 3 years. I said, no, can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I even told my pastor, I'm not going to do it. Yep. You know what happens when you say you're not going to do something, don't you? But here's what I want to tell you. Following the Lord's direction, following the Lord and being obedient to the Lord, I have had so much abundance in my life that I can't share it all with you. And if I did, you wouldn't believe the amount of it. Over and over and over and over again, every week of my life. Incredible. You see, that's what this woman was experiencing. She hadn't come and dedicated her life to the Lord yet, but she was willing to say, okay, Elijah, I'll make a cake for you first. Even though she didn't believe. So that leads me to ask you a question. Those of us that do believe, why do we struggle with what God wants us to do? Why do we struggle? And I'm speaking to myself, I do too. Why do we struggle when the Lord says, make a cake for Elijah first? And sometimes we go, this is all I got. And God says, trust me. Make a cake for Elijah first. Imagine what would happen if she had gone home and said, well, I'm going to make one for myself and my son first, and I'll see what if I have something left over. I think I know how that story ends, don't you? You see, she got to the bottom of the barrel. And by trusting God, that barrel never emptied. By giving first, the bottle never emptied. Incredible. Incredible. So here's what I'm going to tell you. God has a plan that uses us if we offer what we have. God has a plan that uses us if we offer what we have. Now, I know that some of you will say, well, I only have just enough. Think about the widow. I only have just enough, Lord. If I had a little bit more, I'd give first. If I had a little bit more, Lord, I would obey you. What's the little that you have? Because God wants to use us. God wants to use this church to reach this whole world, not just this town, the whole world. That's God's plan. Are you willing to give the little that you have first and to see what God does with it? Think about the little boy. Oh, I so love that story. 5,000 men, women, and children. And I love the disciples. Because one of them's already been walking around checking out who's got lunch. Did you ever think about that? He's already been walking around and, well, got lunch with? Nope, you ain't got lunch. Got lunch with you? You got lunch with? He says, Jesus, I found this little boy that's got a lunch. He's got five fish and two loaves. Or is it two loaves and five fish? My brain's mixed up right now. How about that? And Jesus says, well, go ahead and bring that little boy's lunch. And it's enough food for everybody. I wonder what would happen if that little boy had fought with a disciple and said, no, you ain't taking my lunch. My mama packed this for me. You can't have it. And I'm going to go hungry if you don't let me eat my lunch. You ever meet any little kids like that? Yeah, you have. Come on, you have. Tell the truth. You're not taking my food. And they took that little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. So who really knows how many people were there? And then guess what? Amazing. 12 basketfuls of stuff was left over. Huh. You mean the Lord can do that? Well, Lord, all I got with me today is a quarter. I wonder what God can do with that if we give it. Lord, you know I'm poor and I can't pay the bills. I can just tell you from a time in my life when I was told that I would not make it if I left my job and went to seminary with three kids and a wife not working a job at that time outside the house. I was told we weren't going to make it. I was only making $15,000 a year. Five mouths to feed. There was always food on the table. There was always clothes when people needed new clothes. Every bill was paid. Every stitch of money I needed for seminary for 4 years came out of somebody else's pocket, not mine. Grants and scholarships, some loans that were forgiven after I finished seminary. I didn't owe a penny after 4 years of seminary. And my kids never went without. We have watched the barrel refill. Deanne and I have watched that happen. You know what? God can use us if we let God. God can use us if we let God. Will you? What is the little thing that you must offer up for God's plan? What's the little thing that you got to open your hand up and say, I'll let it go for what God has planned? Each and every one of us have something. We each have something to let go of. Now, if you think I'm talking just about finances, I'm not. This church could have all the finances in the world, but if nobody's willing to be the laborer, we can't do what God wants. Maybe your little to give up is your time somewhere else so you can help out here. What's the little you have to give up that God has probably already asked you to give up? What is it? Because God has a plan to reach this world. And God wants to use us to do that. Now, in cooperation with other churches, we're not the only church that's going to be doing this, okay? But I'm convinced, because God is a big God, that we got a big part in it. And we've already proven to ourselves earlier this year, we can take a big step. We've already proved that. Now I'm wondering, what's the little thing you got to let go of so we can take a bigger step and become more challenged and grow more in our faith and watch God multiply that tremendously? I've seen it through 28 years of ministry. And I want you to experience the same kind of abundance and blessings that Deanne and I have experienced through 28 years of saying, Lord, we'll give you this. We don't know how to do it, but we'll give it to you. What might it be? Let's pray. Lord, the faith of this widow, even when she didn't believe in you, is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. How incredible that is. Through maybe 2 or 3 years, even though she saw it happening 3 times a day, she didn't believe yet. But yet she was still willing to give to Elijah first. Lord, work in our hearts. Show us what we need to let go of for the plan that you have, so that it might expand and grow in powerful and tremendous ways. Lord, whether we need to let go of our finances, whether we need to let go of our time, whether we need to let go of our involvement in other organizations, show us what it is and work on our hearts that we might end up with the faith of this widow, a faith that didn't believe in you. And Lord, those of us who do believe, how can we not do at least what she did? Because we know you'll supply. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.